He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla. And in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise your holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, once again, for this precious opportunity, my Father, that you would summon us, everyone under the sound of my voice, Father, through the gates of thanksgiving, through the courts of praise, through this radio broadcast, through the holy place, all the way, Father, behind the veil into the holiest of holies, all the way into your very presence, my Father. Not coming anyway, Father, but coming knowing that even though our sins are like scarlet, you have washed us white as snow. Therefore, Lord, you remember them no more. In the sea of forgiveness, you placed them, and you have called us the righteousness of God, and you have made us holy, my Father. Therefore, Father, because of what you have done for us, and because of your invitation that you have extended toward us, do we take you up on that invitation and come all the way through the gates of thanksgiving, through the courts of praise, through the holy place, all the way into your very presence, my Father, so that we can sit at the King's table and eat the King's food, my Father. And Lord, for that, we say thank you. So here's our plate, here's our cup, here's our heart, here's our soul, here's our mind, here's our spirit, here's every part of us, Father. We lift it up to you, Father. Feed us with the bread of life, Father. And as in always, Father, we'll make sure to give you all of the credit, all of the honor, and all of the praise for the things that you have done, the things that you are doing, and for the things that you will continuously be doing, Father, throughout all eternity. So here's our cup. Fill us up and make us whole. And for that, my Father, we say thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God out there in radio land under the sound of my voice who's listening to this broadcast. Hey, I thank God for you, too. Hey, listen, it's one thing, man. It's a good thing for me to go into the presence of the Most High God and eat from the King's table, the King's food. But what a joy and what an honor it is to not just go myself, but to go along with all of you all under the sound of my voice. And boy, just eat the King's food. Thank God for the servant's food. Hallelujah. That's good food too. But I'm talking about, boy, some great food. The King's table. The King's food. To hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church in this hour. And Father, we thank you again for that. So right now, saints, you know, and mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, glory to God, you know, we just count it an honor and a privilege, you know, to join together with all of you all and just go and take God up on that invitation. What a blessing it is. So, hey, you get ready. You get ready for what, Brother Arthur? You get ready to be built up, to be strengthened, to be encouraged, to be reproved in some areas, to be rebuked, to be corrected, to be chastised in some areas. Hallelujah. Why? Because whom he loves, he'll rebuke, he'll correct, he'll chastise. He'll do whatever it takes, boy, to get you to his divine destiny and purpose for our lives. And you know what that is? I always say it on this radio broadcast because I want it to get past your intellect all the way down into your very spirit. That we are created in the image and likeness of the Most High God. Hallelujah. That as he is, so are we. He's a holy God. So are we. He's a righteous God. So are we. He's a blessed God. So are we. How come, Arthur? Because he created us in his image and in his likeness. And boy, we begin to come out of religion into that relationship with what? With our Father. How we go into that relationship with our Father and develop that relationship with our Father? Through the word of life. What's the word of life? What the King say. What the King say? Let's make mankind just like us. And let's give them dominion. What dominion? Power, control, influence. What? Over all the works of my hand. Over my creation of the earth and over this earth and everything that I created from the earth. Let's give them rulership over it, kingship over it, dominion, power, control, and influence. What? Over all the earth. Glory to God. And the Bible says, and God blessed them. He enabled us to fulfill that word of life that came forth out of his mouth. Do you know that's the first word that God spoke over you? That's the Logos. That's the spoken word of God. And boy, God gave us that spoken word of God so it can become a rhema word. What's a Logos? That's a spoken thought. What's a rhema? That's a spoken thought. A Logos, that's a spoken thought, a word, articulated thought. And what's the rhema? That's when that spoken word becomes the living word on the inside of you and I. What's the living word? A word that's acted upon. A word that's executed, a word that's applied, a person who is not just a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. For it is that man who will be blessed in everything that he do. Not just the hearers of the word, but the ones who apply that word to their everyday life, where it becomes a way of life. What? Speaking God's word and acting on God's word, applying God's word, executing God's word. Why? Because, boy, when you get that down on the inside of you, how to function and how to operate, boy, in the law of life, glory to God, then he will withhold no good thing from us. Let me tell you something, boy. Well, our God has done great things, and I thank God for good preaching word that inspires us and stir up our emotions and cause us to feel some type of way and everything in our relationship with God. But there's a purpose for that inspired preached word of God. And the purpose for it is so that you could take that inspirational word of God and go and let it motivate you to go get some information. Hallelujah. Well, you go, boy, see that word for yourself. When you partake of that word for yourself, when you don't just put your faith in the wisdom of man, or the wisdom of the servants of the Lord, those who serve him. They're not servants of the Lord, but those who serve him, those who minister one to another. But boy, that you put your faith in the power of God and in his word. See, it's a good thing to hear what I say, boy, and encourage you and build you up in your most holy faith. But it's a greater thing to hear yourself say what God say about you. Hallelujah. You can get some faith by hearing what I say, but boy, that faith will be great when you start hearing yourself speak the word of God. When you start speaking that word, God, over yourself, and not only speaking that word over yourself, but when you start applying it, when you start acting upon it, when you start doing it, even if it's little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept, you'll start becoming, watch this here, what you say. You know, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Hallelujah. In order for you to speak God's word, you got to put that in your heart. The Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And a man from the good treasure of his heart will bring forth good things. You got to put that word in your heart. You got to put the word in your heart. Hallelujah. I can sow the seed into your heart and everything else, but boy, the way you get it in abundance of your heart, like I said, when you start speaking it, when you start saying, man, and speaking God's word over your circumstances, over your situation, over your symptoms, till you get to the place where you pray just like Jesus. I only say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I see my Father do. What he was a not only just a hearer of the word, but a speaker of the word and a doer of the word. You know, that's what made him, man, mighty. That's what enabled him to be who he is and to do what he did and to do what he's continuously doing right now was that because he only spoke the word of God. He acted on the word of God. He executed the word of God on a day-to-day basis. And, boy, that's what God wants us to come to the place of. Where we be not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Not just preachers of the word, not just teachers of the word, but doers of the word. Why? Because it's that man that shall be blessed in his deeds, in everything that he do. Who? The ones who are hearing God's word, getting God's word in their hearts, and getting in their hearts in abundance, so that from the abundance of their heart, their mouth gonna speak, and from the good treasures that stored up in their heart that they placed there, that you and I placed there, how we placed it there? By speaking it ourselves. Gonna bring forth good things. What's the good thing? The fruit of the word. See, there's one thing, now you can't have no fruit unless you first have some seed. But the purpose for the seed is to produce the fruit, the potential that's in the seed. The word of God always comes to us in seed form, but it's up to you and I to plant the seed. It's up to you and I, man, to cultivate the seed. It's up to you and I to nourish that seed, to watch over that seed, hallelujah, until it produces the potential that's on the inside of it, until the glory of that seed is manifested. You know what the glory of an apple seed is? The apple itself. That's the glory of the seed. That's the glory is the full expression of something. The full expression of God's seed of God's word is when that word is manifested in our lives. And that's what brings glory to God. Hallelujah. Not just the spoken word, but the manifested word. That's why Jesus said, Father, I have glorified you. And I glorified me with the glory that I had even before I came here. Well, say, I've glorified you. I've spoken your word. And not just enticing words of my wisdom and my knowledge, but in demonstration and in power. What purpose? So that the faith of the hearers don't stand in the wisdom of the man, but in the power of the Most High God. What he did, he glorified him. How he glorified it? He manifested the word. He didn't just speak it. He manifested the word of God. Glory to God. And it was in demonstration, and it was in power. And listen, y'all, you and I are living in a generation, boy, where God is taking us higher and higher and higher and higher. I heard my brother say, Bishop Towson, before I came on the broadcast, you know, he was saying, listen, what brings glory to the word of God, boy, is when that word of God is being manifested in our lives. He said, man, you know, each generation, man, you know, supposed to take, man, this thing to the next level. Now, what's happening then? We're going higher and higher and higher. We're going from glory to glory to glory. We're becoming who we already are, from generation to generation to generation to generation. Bible says his kingdom is the everlasting kingdom, from generation to generation to generation, until we all reach the fullness of a stature of Christ. Each generation, boy, taking, boy, the earth man higher and higher and higher, becoming who we already are. Mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Producing, boy, and what? Producing, boy, the fruit of the seed of the word of God. Hallelujah. What? Say that again, brother. Arthur. Producing the fruit of the seed of the word of God. That's sown in our lives from generation to generation to generation. Some generation sowing the seed, some generation cultivating the seed, watering the seed, getting the weed out until we reach a generation, hallelujah, that men can come back and feed a generation, not just the seed of the word of God, that too, but begin to feed men, God's flock, men, and God's sheep, the fruit of the word of God. Hallelujah. Like Jesus did, boy. He wasn't just planting the seed, boy. He was feeding them the fruits from the seed that he had already planted. You know, the Bible says a great while before the day, he would go and pray. What he'd do, and then he'd come back out of prayer. I'm talking about he would pray for hours. And then he'd come back, man, and cast a demon out in 2 or 3 seconds. We pray for 2 or 3 minutes and then take hours and hours and hours trying to cast out a demon. Now, Jesus already, man, that went and prepared himself, man, a great while before the day. What? Just sowing the seed of God's word, man. Just returning God's word to him. Just fellowshipping with his Father in heaven. One-on-one, man, you know. Just speaking God's word, man. Him and God dialoguing together. Him and his Father, man. Just ministering to one another, man. And then, boy, when he come out of that time of prayer, demons begin to tremble. The dead begin to be raised to life again. The blind begin to see. The dumb begin to talk. The lame begin to walk. The lost begin to be saved. And the kingdom of God was being established and expanded up on the earth. What was he doing, boy? He was speaking the word of God and acting upon it. What he had already planted in that great while before day. When he would go out, boy, and just sow the seed of God's word into his heart. Allow God to sow the seeds of his word into his heart till it was in his heart in abundance. And boy, from the abundance of his heart, he began to speak. And the man from the good treasure of his heart brought forth, man, those things that he said. Well, boy, God is raising up a generation in our day and time. Hallelujah. That's going higher and higher and higher. That's going to our next. That know that there's a going on in our God. Tell the boy, we are beginning, man, to see the fruit of God's word. We're beginning to see, man, God glorified in us, man. His word being manifested in our lives. So that the faith of the healer don't stand in just the wisdom of a man, but in the power of God. Why? Because they not only hear the word of God, but they see it in demonstration and in power. You know how we get to that place? We get to that place, man, by operating in the laws of the kingdom. Did you know that there are some laws of the kingdom that we must learn how to function in and how to operate in? Listen, it's one thing to be in the kingdom. And my prayer is that, you know, because that's the purpose for this broadcast here, is to help you, man, come to the rediscovering of the gospel of the kingdom. What's the gospel? Gospel is good news, glad tidings, to help you rediscover the good news about the kingdom. Not rediscover the kingdom, but rediscover the good news of the kingdom. What's the good news of the kingdom? That's your inheritance, and that's available to you right now. That's the gospel of it. See, it's one thing to preach the kingdom of God, you know, and man, you listen, we can preach the kingdom of God, and we can preach it in the light of it being in the sweet by and by. Like the old song says, what a day of rejoicing is going to be when we all get to heaven. Yeah, it is going to be a day of rejoicing, but I'm talking about it can be a day of rejoicing right now. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is within your reach. It's at hand. Glory to God. That's the gospel about it. What's the gospel about it, Brother Arthur? It ain't just in the sweet by and by. Yes, it's in the sweet by and by, but it's in the right here and now also. Because that's what Jesus Christ brought back to the earth. Bible say, boy, Isaiah probably say, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. What? The governing system of heaven. Hallelujah. Everlasting kingdom. And of that governing system of heaven that he come to bring, there ain't going to be no end. What he came to bring? He came to bring the functioning principles of heaven. He not only bought heaven, but he bought the governing system of it. How to function in it. That's what he taught. He preached the kingdom of God, but then he also taught them, man, how to function in it. And see, listen, boy, we're living in a generation, man, we're on the brink of a global explosion of the good news about the kingdom. But, boy, that's going on even from there. Because the good news about the kingdom is to get you to be born again and so that you can become, man, a citizen of the kingdom, not just a member of a church. but a citizen of the kingdom. Not just a religious people, man, but a sons and daughters of the Most High God, citizen of the kingdom. And then, boy, when you become, man, born again and become a citizen of the kingdom, then, man, listen, that's the first step. But what's next, Brother Arthur? Now you got to learn, man, how to function in this new kingdom that you've been translated into. Because, boy, once you get the engrafted, indestructible, ever-living seed of God's word, that's how you're born again, by the word of God. But when you're born again, you're just a little bitty spiritual baby. Now you got to grow up. You got to learn how to talk. You got to learn how to walk. You got to learn how to live in this new world. Glory to God. You got to learn how to talk. You got to learn how to think. You got to, man, I'm talking about, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to go on in God. See, one thing to be saved, but saved ain't the goal. Saved is the means to the goal. What? To get you all your inheritance. What inheritance I have, Arthur? Come, you who are blessed of the Father, you know the scripture, and get your inheritance. All of the kingdom of God that was prepared for you, all of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. How come it ain't being manifested more and more and more in our life? Because, man, we just stuck, man, in the preliminaries. We made the end. We made the means the end. Hallelujah. Just get saved. Okay, get saved. Now what? Well, go to church. Then you start going to church, become a member of a church. Then what? But start living, man, right, man. Okay, you start living right. Then what? Boy, that's a going on in God. But then start becoming, man, who you already are. Who I am? You the offspring of the Most High God with all power and all dominion and all might, created in the image and likeness of the Most High God that can do all things through Christ who strengthened you, man. That's the head, not the tail. That's above and not beneath. That's blessed in the city and blessed in the field. That's healed by the stripes of Jesus. That's provided for. That's delivered. Listen, I'm not talking about trying to be. I'm talking about already. Now you got to learn how to appropriate that into our lives. You got to learn. You got to grow up in this kingdom. And you got to learn the functioning principles of it. You got to learn the laws of the kingdom. Jesus told, boy, them disciples, say, I'm going to give to you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. In other words, I'm going to give you keys to all the blessings of heaven. Glory to God. And, boy, all them blessings is it behind a door. And whatever door you open, going to be open. And whatever door you leave locked, they're going to stay locked. But you got the keys. Now, you can be fumbling around the door, man, you know, and say, let me try this key right here. You're trying to get your healing, trying to get out of healing. Well, let me try this key. Let me try that key. And, man, you can be fumbling around, man, at the door of prosperity, at the door of healing, at the door of deliverance, at the door of provision, man, just functioning, man, just trying this key and trying that key. Why? Because you don't know the functioning, you don't know what key opened what door. And how to function in that principle, that law. But boy, as you learn it, that's why Jesus Christ said again, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. In other words, let me say it plain. I'm going to teach you, man, how to, man, get, man, from heaven, all your blessings that's in heavenly places. I'm going to teach you, man, how to get it from the heavenly places into the right here and now, into your life. Well, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. I'm going to teach you the functioning principles of it. I'm going to teach you the law that governs it. And I'm going to teach you how to operate in it, how to function in it. Why? So that you can get your inheritance, so that you can get what belongs to you. And whatever, when I give it to you, then whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Do you know when God created you and I, man, he gave the earth, he gave you and I dominion over the earth? He said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, but let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the cattle and everything that creepeth upon the earth and over all the earth. Let who? Let them. He excluded himself. He said, let us make man and let us give them the ability to accomplish man, the purpose for us making man, but let them have dominion over the territory that I gave them. What? The heaven belonged to God, the earth he gave to man, to be a steward of it, to be a good steward of it. For what purpose? So that man, God, through mankind, through you and I, can make earth a colony of heaven. What's the purpose for that? So that it might be on earth. Let me say it in a better way. So that it might be in our lives here on earth, just as it is in heaven. That it may be what? In our lives here, where? On earth. How? Just as it is, where? In heaven. God created, boy, earth to be a colony of heaven. And God created mankind, you and I, to accomplish that for him. That's why he gave you and I dominion over all the earth and told you and I to be fruitful and multiply and replenish and subdue the earth. He gave that authority and that dominion, man, and that power and that might to you and I. So God can't come up into this earth and start usurping authority over the authority that he gave you. Listen, he can't violate his words. If he said, let them have dominion over the earth, and then he come in and start exercising dominion over mankind, dominion, then he'll be violating his word, and he ain't going to do that. He got to watch over his word to perform it. He can't violate his word. If he gave you and I dominion over the earth, then that's bottom line, man. You and I, man, have dominion over the earth. We've tried to put everything that's going on up on the earth and everything else and all the misery and all the calamity and all the sin and all the corruption that's up on the earth. We try to, man, wonder why God let this happen. No, he didn't let that happen. God gave you dominion. You the one let it happen. I'm the one. We. Glory to God. He didn't lead the earth into the hands of the politicians, not the worldly politicians, not the worldly government. He left the earth into the hands of men, the church. And I'm not talking about the religious church. I'm talking about, boy, them offsprings of the Most High God, them sons and daughters of the Most High God. I'm not talking about, man, the religious title and religious order that we come in. Yes, that's all good and dandy in its place. But I'm talking about the offsprings of God, the called out ones, the sanctified ones, separated from something to something, to carry out, man, a purpose and a desire and the plan and the will, what, of the Most High God. What's the plan and the will and desire and the purpose of the Most High God? That it be in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. How is he going to accomplish that? Through you and me? Through the church? Hallelujah. How is he going to accomplish that? Through the church. Not the world. Not the politicians of the world. Through the church. That's the mission of the church. That's the true mission of the church. To go into all the world and make disciples of all men, teaching them, boy, what the Holy Ghost, man, taught us about everything Jesus Christ said. And not just taught us, but led us into the truth, the reality of it. Why? So that we can do the same thing Jesus did. He made disciples out of Peter, James, and John. He made students out of them. He made learners out of them. Why? So they can continue the work that the Father sent him to do. What the Father sent him to do? To reestablish the kingdom of heaven back up on the earth. And then to teach man, followers, man, how to go and do so as well. How to reach their maximum potential while inspiring others to do so as well. Winning souls to the kingdom of God. Not just winning souls, man, to our church or our denomination or our religion, but winning souls to the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? What God is doing. And his ways of doing what he's doing. That's the kingdom of God. The governing influence of God over man in a territory. Producing a citizenry of citizen man that's how can I say it, Holy Spirit? Producing man, citizen man that's expressing the will, the desire, and the intent, and the purpose of God upon the earth. The governing influence of God in a territory. Hallelujah. That's the kingdom of God. what God is doing and his ways of doing what he's doing. What's the kingdom of heaven? That's the literal place. What's the kingdom of God? That's the governing system of that place, how that place is governed. Hallelujah. And when we seek first what? The governing system of heaven, how heaven is governed, then all the things that we have need of that pertains to life and godliness will be added unto us on a daily basis. You won't even have to take no thought of what you're going to eat, how you're going to make it, where you're going to live, what you're going to wear. Why? Because your heavenly Father know that you have need of all these things. But if we get our priorities in line, what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, the governing system of God, how God's functioning, how God created you and I to function and operate according to those laws, and all of the kingdom of heaven. What that is, that's the literal place, and all of its splendor, and all of its delight, and all of its lifestyle, and all that it consists of, will be added unto us on a daily basis. Can you imagine, man, living your life, not trying to get to heaven, but living your life from that place, coming to the knowledge that you have been translated out of this kingdom of darkness, this world that we live here on, in the earth, that we were born and conditioned and trained and to live in, the kingdom of darkness that's set up by the devil, but translated out of that kingdom over into the kingdom of God, dear son, over into the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Well, boy, in that place, man, you ain't living your life trying to get there. You're living your life as though you were already there. Why? Because instead of God trying to get you to heaven, he loved you so much that he brought heaven to you. In fact, let me say it in a better way or in a corrector way. He brought heaven, the kingdom of heaven, he brought it back to us. Hello. I don't know. I've been listening to my recording, boy. I say that word, hey, Lord, a lot on here, man. You know, I don't know. That's just my way of saying, man, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. What he did, he brought heaven back to us. Say that again, brother. He didn't come to bring us to heaven. He come to bring heaven back to us. Back to us. God created heaven on earth. We call it the Garden of Eden. And then he placed Adam and Eve in that place. And from that place, he told them to be fruitful and multiply. What? Heaven on earth. He told them now. Here, you in an environment and an atmosphere here on this spot on the earth for this moment, man. And your job is to be fruitful and multiply and replenish. Make the whole earth just like this little Garden of Eden so that the environment and atmosphere of heaven will cover the whole earth so that the whole earth could be filled with the glory of God. Who he gave that assignment to Adam and Eve. And listen, when he was talking to Adam and Eve in the garden, he was talking to everybody because everybody come from them bodies. Even Eve come from that one body. God made one body from the ground and never went back to the ground again. Everybody come from that one body. So when God was talking to Adam in the garden, or in the beginning when he created him, he was talking to everybody. So when he told Adam to be fruitful and multiply and replenish and subdue the earth, he was talking to you and me too. When he told Adam, you created in my image and my likeness, he was talking to you and me too. When he told Adam, man, you can eat off any tree in the garden, man, you know, you're free to eat off any tree in the garden, he was talking to you and me too. When he told Adam, but don't eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because the day that you eat off that tree, you're going to surely die, he was talking to you and me too. When he told Adam, you created my image and my likeness, you just like me, he was talking to you and me too. When he was talking to Adam, he was talking to everybody. When he gave Adam the laws of the kingdom. Oh, I hear you, Holy Ghost. I feel a shift. When he gave Adam the laws of the kingdom. See, I don't think the religious church know too much about those laws. We know about the law that he gave to the children of Israel, man, through Moses, that was designed, man, to bless not only the children of Israel, but every nation. He gave those laws to one nation in hope that man through that one nation, or that nation supposed to win all nations. So in the Bible, say God gave the laws to Israel. Man, let me tell you something. He gave the law to Israel first. But man, through Israel, man, he's going to give them laws to everybody. He saved one man. He blessed Adam. I mean, and then man on down, Adam lost the blessing. Then he come back along, man, and blessed Abraham. He blessed Adam because he wanted to bless everybody. I told you everybody was in Adam. He blessed Abraham, man. You know, he blessed that one man. Why? Because he wanted to bless every man. Then he gave that one man, man, a family. And he blessed that family. Why? Because he wanted through that family to bless every family. And then through that family, man, he made of them a great nation, and he blessed that nation. Why? Because he wanted to bless every nation. Hallelujah. So when he gave Adam, I mean, when he gave Adam and when he gave Abraham, man, that blessed man, when he gave Abraham, molded them laws for that nation, it wasn't just for that nation. It was to them nations for you. So that nation, man, could bless God through it, man, and be a blessing to every nation. Because God, man, want to cooperate all the nations of the earth, man, that become one with the kingdom of our God, man. He want to bless every nation. He want to bless every man. He want to bless every family. He want to bless every woman. He want to bless every child. He want to bless, man, everybody. Why? Because that's what he already done. The Bible says God put them in the garden and God blessed them. Who? Male and female. He blessed. He didn't say he going to bless them. That's a past tense word. He blessed them. He didn't say, man, he going to create man in his image. He said, in his image created he them. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. Oh, that's past tense. Ain't something he gonna do. That's something he already done. That's why you hear me say on this broadcast all the time, we becoming who we already are. This is God already saved us. You think God, man, didn't know man fall and become separated from him? Why you think he prepared that lamb before the foundation of the world? Then Jesus Christ didn't just die, man, when he came 2,000 years ago. The Bible say, boy, he was slain before the foundation of the world. God already made preparation, man, for the fall and everything else before there even was a fall. Glory to God. Why? Because his counsel going to stand. That's the power that's in his word. That's the authority and the might that's in his word. And now, and there's not a word that have gone forth out of his mouth that shall not come to pass. It ain't a word that he has spoken that he shall not make good. They can't return to him, boy. It's the word of the Most High God. That's a law in the kingdom called a law of life. Listen, let me share something with you right quick, you know, and I pray that this will bless you. It took me 40 years, and I still haven't really begun to minister on it yet, but 40 years ago, over 40 years ago. In fact, back in 1981, 82, man, you know, I heard a message, man, you know, way back then, man, and I hadn't been able to, I lost that series of tapes that I had back then. Well, I didn't lose it. My little children, they were little then, and they used to pull all my little tapes out. That's when they had cassette then. They pull them all out and everything else. But, boy, I heard a teaching, man, back in 1981, man, and the teaching was on the laws of the kingdom. And, man, I'm talking about it revolutionized my life. And, boy, for 40 years, man, I've been, everything has been a means to that end right there. That seed was planted into my heart, my life back then. And, man, it was tired in our ministry in Houston, man, where I began to try to teach on it, man, but it took all the way up until now. So, well, it's abundantly in my heart now, man. Wow. The functioning principles of the kingdom. Like I told you earlier, it's one thing to be in the kingdom, one thing to preach the kingdom, but boy, it's a whole different thing, man, to operate according to the law that governs the kingdom. Because that's when the manifestation of God's word and God's promises going to be manifested in our life, when we learn how to function according to those laws of the kingdom. And you know something, this is something else too. I never heard no other teachings on it. But that's been in my heart ever since 1982, the laws of the kingdom. So down through all them times, silently, man, you know, as God began to prepare me, I come to this knowledge that it was all for such a time as this was. So that, boy, we could learn the laws of the kingdom. Thank God for the law that he gave the children of Israel, and he wrote them on the tablets of mankind's heart, the Ten Commandments. And all the amendments that go along with it. Some theologians say 613 amendments, 613 laws. I don't know exactly what that is or how many it is and everything else. But what I do know, man, if there are some original laws. The first law that God gave to Adam and Eve, to mankind. And those were not the law that God gave to a nation that was to bless every nation, but the law that God gave to mankind that was to bless all mankind. And it's the laws of the kingdom. Listen, I've discovered, man, it might be more, you know, but all I know is all I've learned. And all I've learned is not nearly all there is to know. But I share with you, boy, what I've learned down through the last 40 years. That I discovered, man, you know, through my studies and through my meditation and inclining my ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church, I discovered, man, in the first three chapters of the Bible in Genesis, man, as the Holy Spirit began to revelate it to my spirit, boy, seven laws of the kingdom of God that God gave to mankind, not that which was in the beginning. And not only that which was in the beginning, but that which was from the beginning. The first law is the law of life. Hallelujah. That's a law in the kingdom. The second law in the kingdom of God, boy, is the law of liberty. The third law in the kingdom is the law of sin and death. The fourth law in the kingdom is the law of love. The fifth law in the kingdom is the law of promise. The sixth law in the kingdom, man, is the law of sowing and reaping. I heard my brother speaking on that earlier before I came on. Moments of inspiration, man. The power of God's word. The power of the seed of God's word. And how, boy, in order to get that word, man, the fruit of that word manifest in our lives, you got to sow that into your heart. That's a law in the kingdom called a law of sowing and reaping. Be not deceived. God is not marked. Whatsoever man say, that's what he's going to have. What's the seed? The seed is not money. That's included in it, man, but that's not the issue. The seed is the word of what God's word say about the money, about any area of our life, what God say about it. That's the seed. Hallelujah. And the seventh seed, boy, the law of faith. What? Boy, in this kingdom here, in the kingdom of God, the just shall live by faith. And I don't care what area in your life, I don't care what message you might hear, man, of the word of God. And I'm talking about down through time, man. I'm talking about every message that I've heard, man. Whether they were religious messages or anything else, if it was the word of God, then it has something to do with these laws here of the kingdom. Every message that I heard, man, its origin, man, is in these laws. I'm talking about every message. I don't care what message you preach from the word of God. It's going to have something to do with these seven functioning principles of the kingdom of God. What they are again, Arthur? The law of life. The law of liberty. The law of sin and death. The law of love. The law of the promises of God, the law of sowing and reaping, and the law of faith. But if that ain't your Bible, man. Hey, listen, boy, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 6, verse 9, verse 11, verse 14, verse 20, verse 24, and verse 26, these are very familiar scriptures to you. And those verses say, and God said. And God said, verse 6. And God said, verse 9. And God said, and then it started articulating me and everything that he said. But that is, that's the law of life. Where the life is, John chapter 1 say, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with us, the Word, and listen, and in him was life. In who? The Word. And the life was the light of men. Why? Because men were living in darkness, ignorance of God's original words, original laws. So, boy, God, man, sent his word, man, that mankind was ignorant of and lost to, man. He sent it back to this earth in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. And the word, which was life and the light of men, that shined in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't comprehend it, couldn't stop it, couldn't put it out. It's an everlasting word. That word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld it as the only begotten Son of the Most High God. And it was full of grace and truth. And here's the good news about that word. And of its fullness have we all received. What's that? That's the law of life. What's the law of life? What the King said. Hallelujah. I'm going to say it again. What's the law of life? Man, the word of the Most High God. And watch this here. First John, St. John say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But in First John, it say, that which was from the beginning. What? The word of life. That's what we declare unto you. What was from the beginning? The word of life. What? What the King said. The first things the King said about you. If you want to know, man, what God, man, what if you want to know what the real deal is, you got to go all the way back, man, way past the, I'm talking about past Abraham, past Moses, past, all the way back, man, to the debt which was from the beginning. What? Thank God for what God spoke to us, man, in the Old Testament through the law and the prophets and everything else. But if you want to know the reality and how to function according to the functioning principles of the Most High God, then you got to go all the way past them and see what God said himself, that which was from the beginning. That's in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, 6, 9, 11, 14, 20, 24, and 26. That's the law of life, what the King said. Not just in the beginning, but from the beginning. What he said, let's make man, what is the first thing he said about mankind? Let's make man in our image and our likeness and let them have dominion over all the earth. That's the first word he spoke about you. That's the real deal. Now, all the other words he spoke, man, through the law and the prophets, man, that's after men, some laws have been violated. But I'm talking about what he spoke from the beginning. Let's make man in our image and our likeness. That word can't return to him, boy. Boy, when it's all said and done, that's what it's going to be. That's a law of life. That's a primary law in the kingdom of God. Well, that's why you hear me always say on here, boy, what the King say. That's what goes. Thank God for what Jeremiah said and Isaiah said and Ezekiel said and Obadiah said and all the Old Testament prophets said and David said and Moses said and everybody else said, man, you know, listen, there's a more sure word, what the King said himself. Because watch this here. Everything that God starts saying through mankind was after mankind had violated, man, those laws in the kingdom. God gave man, you know, after God's man spoke those things, and then in chapter 2, he say, and God, man, planted a formed man body from the dust of the ground and put man into that physical body and told that man to be fruitful and multiply and plant a garden and put him in that garden. And then, man, God commanded the man saying, listen, of the trees of the garden, you can eat off all anyone you want to. You can eat off the man, listen, in the garden, in the midst of the garden, the tree of life, what the King say. And in the midst of the garden also is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then he told the man, you can freely eat off any of the trees. But he commanded the man saying, but don't eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because the day that you eat off that tree, you're going to surely die. What that is, that's the law of liberty. He gave mankind free will. You can eat off any tree. But he also commanded them, man, don't eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because the day you eat off of that, you're going to separate yourself from me. That's another law, the law of sin and death. The soul that sinned shall surely die. He told them, man, you can eat off any tree, but he also gave man great men instruction. But don't eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why? Because the day that you eat off of that one, you're going to surely die. That's a law. The law of sin and death. First, he gave him the law of life. Be in my image and be in my likeness and be just like me. That's the law of life. Then he told him, man, then he gave him the law of liberty. You can, man, eat off the tree of life and be that, or you can eat out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, man, and separate yourself from that. That's liberty. That's freedom. Then he told them the consequences, if you don't eat up, if you don't operate this law of liberty and eat out the tree of life only and don't eat out the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he told them the consequences of what? You shall surely die. That's the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. The next law in the kingdom, man, even though they ate out the tree of knowledge of good and evil, there's another law in the kingdom, man, that produced sin and death. There's another law in the kingdom, man, called a law of love. This is, man, the Bible says the love of God covers a multitude of sin. That word multitude means all our sins. What it do? It covers all our sins. So what God did, man, Adam and Eve, man, after they disobeyed God and found themselves, man, you know, naked, man, unclothed with the righteousness of God, they went and hid themselves, man, and God came looking for them. It wasn't Adam and Eve looking for God. It was God come found them. And he found them, man, dead in trespasses and in rebellion and sin. And they tried to fix themselves. They tried to save themselves. They tried to cover themselves, just like religion do. They had covered themselves with leaves and everything else. But God, in his love for us, man, even while we was in our sin, God took them leaves off of man and clothed them, man, with blood, man, of an animal, life. Blood represents life, man. So God, man, loved us so much, man, that he took the leaves off of them. He took their self-salvation. He took the man, them trying to provide salvation for themselves. Even when they were yet in their sin, God covered him with his love. Well, he killed an animal, man, and clothed them with that. He saved them. Why? Because his love for us. That's the royal law in the kingdom, called a law of love. Glory to God. Adam then was lost and dead and separated from God, but God still loved him. God saved him. God covered him, just like you and I, man. Isn't nothing we could do to save ourselves, man. Our righteousness is like filthy rags. But God in his love, where he loved us with, man, and he showed that love, that while we were yet in our sins, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, and he hung, bled, and died for us. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. That's a law in the kingdom called a law of love. And boy, after he clothed them and everything else, then, man, he made a promise to them. That's the law of promise. He said, listen, I promise you, I'm going to have to put you out of this Garden of Eden to protect the way of the tree of life so that you can't eat off of devil. Because if you eat off the tree of life in this fallen state that you're in, separated from me and sin and death, then you're going to be able to live that way forever. And I'll never be able to redeem your life. So I'm going to put you out of this Garden of Eden to protect the way to the tree of life. Not because I hate you or disappointed with you or don't want nothing to do with you no more. No, I got to protect the way back to the tree of life until the appointed time. So God promised him something more when he was putting them out into the wilderness. He said, I promise you something. I ain't never going to leave you, and I ain't never going to forsake you. I can't live in you no more. Because the holy vessel that I placed you in has become an unholy vessel. And the Holy Spirit cannot live in an unholy vessel. So, hey, man, listen. I'm gonna put you out of the Garden of Eden. The Holy Spirit gonna leave you from living on the inside of you. But I promise you something, what? I ain't never gonna leave you. I might not be able to live in you no more, but I'm gonna be around you. Glory to God. But that's the love of God. And that love produced a promise, what? That I ain't never gonna leave you, and I ain't never gonna forsake you. And one day in the fullness of time, I promise you something. That boy, that seed of the woman, hey, it's coming, hallelujah. And he told the devil, you're going to bruise it here, but boy, he's going to bruise your head. The head means authority. The authority and the control and dominion that I gave Adam and Eve over the earth, they forfeited it over to you through their rebellion or their transgression of my word. And through their rebellion, they gave the dominion that I gave them to you. But I promise you something, hallelujah, that same woman who you deceive, she going to have a seed. And that seed, man, going to crush your head, going to take back that authority that Adam gave to you and restore it back to who it rightfully belonged to. That's all mankind. That's a law in the kingdom called a law of promise. See, the law that God told Abraham and everything else, all the Old Testament words and everything else, those are types and shadows of things that was to come. That's how God had to deal with mankind after he had got separated from God and after he had got put out of the Garden of Eden in the presence of the Lord and lost the Holy Spirit. And even though they were in that fallen state, man, they would now live in the garden to God's permissive will. But in those first two chapters was God's perfect will. And everything that God started doing through chapter 3 all the way to the end of your Bible is God's means to get you back into his perfect will. Glory to God. What was going on in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 where Adam and Eve were walking and talking with God in the cool of the day, unbroken fellowship. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine, man, living your life, man, as though, man, you had never sinned? Can you imagine, man, living holy, righteous, mighty? Can you imagine living your life, man, from that place, heavenly places? Do you know that you have been made to sit with Christ Jesus in those heavenly places? Not going to be already. Well, that's a promise from God. That's the promises of God. He promised that all them things in the Old Testament was types and shadows to fulfill, man, what? All of those promises. And then, boy, God told him, he said, listen, man, hallelujah. What I got to do for you? He said, all you got to do is just believe. The just shall live by faith. Believe what? Believe those exceeding great and precious promises. Because it's through those promises, the Bible says in 1 Peter, that we partake of the divine nature of God and escape the corruption that's in this world. How? Through those exceeding great and precious promises. I promise you, I ain't never going to leave you. So even though, boy, he couldn't live in them no more, he was always around them, baby. He said, build me a tabernacle. A tabernacle is not a building. A tabernacle means to cohabitate with so that I can dwell among y'all. Hallelujah. But I promise you something, boy, in the fullness of time, I'm going to come and I'm going to fix everything up so that I can not only dwell among y'all, but I can once again live on the inside of y'all. Then he said, I'll live this way, Lord. Just have faith in my promises. Have faith in my word. Have faith, man, in my love towards you. Have faith in my promise to redeem your life from that destruction and restore you back to your original place. Have faith in that. Have faith in me and the law of life. Have faith in everything that I spoke over you from the beginning. Have faith that I'm going to restore you back to that place. Have faith in that. And well, guess what? The just shall live by faith. Then I have to have faith in that. Okay, now how do I appropriate all that, man, that you said into my life? Like I heard Moments of Inspiration and Bishop Townsend and his lovely wife talking about on before I came on, through the law of sowing and reaping. How I get everything from the unseen realm, from this big reservoir of grace, man, that's hooving over this whole earth, man, all the blessings that's in it, man, all of the blessings of the kingdom of heaven. How I get that, man, from the unseen realm into this seen realm here in my life through that seven law of sowing and reaping. God said in Genesis chapter 1, he said, listen, long as the earth remain, there shall be seed time and harvest time. He planted all the trees and everything else and they fruit in it and they had seed in it of itself. My time is running out. But let me tell you something, boy. God established that law, boy, back in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, the law of sowing and reaping. What's the seed? The word of God. What's the word of God? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. What God said to mankind before man, he starts speaking to man, Moses, and all the rest of men through the law and the prophet, his original word. And then when we start speaking that, what are we doing now? We're sowing the seed of life into our spirit. And guess what's going to be the result of it as we continue to operate in that law, the law of sowing and reaping, speaking God's word, putting God's word in our heart like we start out saying, and getting it in our heart in abundance. To where it's abundantly in our heart, and from the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak, and the man from the good treasure of his heart will bring forth those good things. How? Through the law of sowing and reaping. Listen, I love y'all. My time is up. My wife, Gail, and I love y'all with the love of the Lord. You want to contact us? 713-870-3776. Kingdom Life Fellowship World Outreach Ministry. God love you, and we do too. Look forward to talking to you next time. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LeVay. We at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry would like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve you and your family. We trust that the messages on these broadcasts has been a tremendous blessing to your life. We pray and speak the blessing of God upon your life. And if we can be of further service to you, please feel free to contact us at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry. Our phone number is 713-870-3720.